Isn't it time that you powerfully aligned with your soul's purpose and activated your divine gifts and talents so that you can thrive in the new paradigm? Welcome to Soul Purpose Central with internationally acclaimed radio host Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose Expert. You've been divinely guided here because something deep within your diamond light longs to be activated so that you can joyously evolve through your ascension journey. Congratulations! You have arrived at the right place. After 20,000 soul purpose and healing sessions, Jennifer now joyfully shares with you her profound wisdom and experience in the Akashic Records, multidimensional healing, and all that is relevant to your creation story as a unique spark of divine light, love. Join us for your connection to the wisdom of the collective Akasha and selected experts who can align you to all things soul purpose. Prepare to be activated, aligned, and accelerated on your ascension path. Now, here's your host, Jennifer Longmore.
Welcome, everyone. You are listening to Soul Purpose Central. So glad you're with us today. I am your host, Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose Expert. And every time we connect, I'm excited to introduce you to various people that can really support you with the tools and the tips that you need to live your purpose fully and to really thrive in the being that you are. And today I'm really, really excited to introduce you to a very, very special woman that I've connected with, and I have no doubt that you're going to absolutely love what she has to share with you today. Her name is Dr. Sarah Gottfried. She is a Harvard-trained integrative physician and a natural hormone expert. And if you feel like you've lost that bounce in your step and you're struggling with your hormones, you're struggling with your energy, you need your thyroid juiced up, then you're definitely going to want to stay tuned in, because she's going to give you a lot of wonderful insights and tips to help you release the myths around hormones and energy and weight and sex, and help you really reconnect with who you are and really feel grounded again as the beautiful goddess that you are. So just to give you a little bit more information about Dr. Sarah, she's a professional Harvard-trained integrative physician, and she is a real master at blending alternative medicine with state-of-the-art women's health. And she actually combines 20 years of experience in modern science, molecular biology, and epidemiology with a deep knowledge of botanicals, bioidentical hormone balancing, yoga, and Ayurveda, enabling her to really translate those complex medical jargon literature things into practical advice for you, and then help you to be making informed choices so that you can ultimately balance your hormones safely and effectively. She's been published in peer-reviewed medical journals, Natural Health Magazine, Glamour, Yoga Journal, and in 2013, her new book, The Hormone Cure, will be released by Scriber, Simon & Schuster. So she's a real expert, and we're really blessed to have her today supporting you. So again, we're going to be looking at the top five myths of hormones, energy, weight, and sex, and you're going to definitely want to stay with us throughout our call today so that you can set yourself free from whatever is holding you back and reclaim your energy and feel like the authentic and integrated woman that you are. So welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you so much. What a sweet introduction, and hello to all your listeners. So happy to be with you today.
Well, I'm very excited, and I know you've had all of this training, but you know, there's so many things that you could have specialized in as a doctor. I'm curious to know what led you to this place where you're helping women and you're taking a look at hormones.
Yes, as you described in my intro, I definitely have been trained in the Western medicine paradigm, but that's really not where I practice. I found that there were so many gaps that people face, especially women, when it comes to the things that we struggle with as we age. And I'm not talking about, you know, after age 50. I'm talking about things that start in your 20s, things that are related to your energy, your mojo, how you're managing stress. So, yes, I am trained in that system, but the way that I look at these problems is really different from your typical mainstream doctor.
Mm-hmm. Which is such a blessing, actually, because as women, we're so relationship-oriented, and when someone takes the time to take a look at us as a whole person and factor in all of the different things that have transpired in our life beyond just what symptoms are, first of all, we feel heard, and who doesn't want to feel heard? And we feel seen and acknowledged. But then it feels like we're in better hands when we know that someone's taking in the full picture and making a diagnosis or making recommendations from that place rather than just what I'm presenting today.
I totally agree with you, Jennifer. There's something about the way that Western medicine, conventional medicine, tends to compartmentalize that really does not serve us. It does not serve us as we try to feel our most vital. Completely agree with you there. And I think the key is to really understand the context, understand the relatedness, as you just described, understand how all these hormonal parts fit in. And I sort of start with the hormones. I mean, one of my, I would say my mission is to change the world one hormone at a time. But really this is about...
That's a good tagline for a book.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the next book. But really, you and I are in the same business. We're in the business of self-realization. I just happen to start off my arc with hormones.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that we really, you know, it starts in our 20s, and I've shared with you privately, but I haven't shared certain aspects of that with everyone listening. But when I worked as a forensic investigator, and it wasn't just with me, it was with everyone. We were we had 6 weeks vacation just built in. That was an automatic when we signed on for the job. And we had 12 sick days because the job was so stressful. Our adrenals were all completely shot, and you can imagine the different things that we manifested. And when you're in situations like that, you don't realize the toll it's taking. You're just surviving, right? You're just living for the weekend, recouping, going back into work on Monday. And it's not until you manifest a real health crisis that you have the opportunity to sort of reverse engineer what happened, to take a look at it and say, okay, what's going on? But had you told me then that I had stuff going on with my hormones, and particularly my adrenals just being completely shot, I would have been like, what are you talking about? I'm only in my early 20s. This is impossible. There's no way I've got hormonal issues going on. Looking back, I can see what was going on then, but also the impact in the now and how that translates. And I would imagine that so many of us living this fast-paced life and using technology more and more so we can accomplish more and more in a day, that so many more people than what we even realize would have issues with their hormones.
You're absolutely right. And I love that you just shared your story about what it was like in your 20s, because I think that's an experience that is universal for men and women today. Women tend to respond to stress for women in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and so on. What often happens is we get into this pattern of a stress-crazed life.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, as you were saying, often it's not until you have a health crisis that you start to recognize these different parts, such as what's going on with your adrenal function. Is it adrenal fatigue that is behind the loss of your mojo? But what I want to encourage your listeners to do, especially if they don't have a health crisis, is to intervene sooner. So jump in there before the health crisis comes. Jump in there before the cancer diagnosis, before you are flat on your back with depression. I want you to intervene much earlier, because it's so much easier to make the corrections the sooner, the earlier that you jump in.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think it's important, you know, maybe this is our first myth that we should address. Often I find with the younger women in my practice, and we're talking now about women in their 20s and 30s and even early 40s, they feel like they don't have to worry about their hormones until they're 50. They feel like, oh, you know, all is well. There's this cliff that is at some point in the future, maybe 50, the average age for menopause is 51, and I'll deal with the cliff then.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to make the case today with your listeners that you really want to start assessing and intervening sooner. And what we know, just going back to your 20s, is that in your 20s, your estrogen starts to drop. Estrogen is the hormone that makes you flirty and vivacious and gives you hips and breasts, and it raises your serotonin. And a lot of women start to notice that they don't have quite that mojo, quite the spark that they had when they were younger, and it can start as early as age 26 or 29. So there are definitely these hormonal shifts that happen early on that I want your listeners to be aware of. So the truth there with that myth is know that your hormones start to shift in your 20s, especially if you have a stress-crazed life. And jump in sooner. Jump in sooner.
I think that's true with all things about life. We tend to wait to take action until we get the universal 2x4. And we have this conscious and unconscious belief that anything we do has to be hard. We have to do it the hard way. We have to struggle. And so we can't possibly experience health with ease. We have to, you know, return back to health the hard way, or, you know, whatever it is we're doing. Obviously, we're not necessarily consciously doing that, but I find that that tends to be our pattern in a lot of different ways in life. But I love how you shared that. And the other thing that I just wanted to go back to was something that you said, is that when our estrogen drops, it affects our serotonin. And for those folks that aren't aware of how serotonin affects their body, maybe you could speak a little bit to that.
Oh, yes, and thank you. Please bust me whenever I say a term that needs a little explaining, especially because my way of looking at some of these brain chemicals may be a little different than what your listeners have heard before.
Well, so, we've all heard of serotonin, right, but maybe we don't fully understand the impact of what happens when that's out of balance.
You are so right. So serotonin, here's how I think about serotonin. There are all these different brain chemicals. You have them in your brain. You also have them in your gut. I think about the gut as being the second brain. But you produce serotonin in both places. You make it in your brain. You make it in your gut. And if you have problems with your gut, you're not going to make it so well. But getting back to this question of estrogen, you make a lot of different estrogens in your body. When you're in your fertile years, you make mostly a form of estrogen that is quite good at raising your serotonin. So this isn't true for all women, but for some percentage, I find in my integrative medicine practice, my concierge medical practice, that about 20 to 30% of women are exquisitely sensitive to their estrogen levels. And when estrogen starts to go down at age 26 or 27, they start to feel depressed. Or maybe they become more anxious because they don't have as much serotonin. Here's what serotonin does. It's got a couple of main major jobs. One job is it is a mediator of your mood. So that feeling of joy, that feel-good neurochemistry that I know your listeners, they know what I'm talking about. Often that is driven by serotonin. There's a number of other feel-good neurotransmitters, brain chemicals, but serotonin is really the main gatekeeper. It's the one that really is the boss in terms of the brain chemistry. So number one, it deals with your mood. Number two, it's a mediator of your appetite. And so for a lot of women, as their estrogen starts to drop, their appetite goes up. So that's another important piece.
So that's going to cue a lot of people listening. Right? Appetite? What? I just need to balance my serotonin and I'll lose weight?
Yeah, so serotonin is so important in that regard. And I think we've, you know, many of us have been sold this bill of goods that the way of dealing with your serotonin is to be on the latest antidepressant du jour. And I would say that's not the answer. It's the answer only for very narrow, severe situations. And for the one out of four women that are actually taking a mental health drug here in the United States, I just think we are way over-prescribing it. So number one, mood. Number two, appetite. Number three, sleep. Serotonin's a very important mediator of your sleep. So, yes, those are some of the things that estrogen does, and that piece with serotonin is so important. And we know that women are so much more likely to have depression than men, and a lot of it is because of this estrogen-serotonin story.
Mm-hmm. So is there a way, so to balance the serotonin, can people just try to balance the serotonin, or is it more serving to balance the hormones?
Yeah, that's a great question. The deal with, do you go after the hormone or do you go after the neurotransmitter, is my favorite answer, which is both.
Okay.
You know, our tendency...
See, you just busted me there.
Well, I need to be busted on that front all the time, so I'm right there with you. But, you know, we tend to get kind of dualistic, right? Our brains tend to go to that place of either or, you know, mm-hmm. either my serotonin or my estrogen. And what we know is that there's so much interdependence between your hormones and your neurotransmitters, in this instance, your estrogen and your serotonin, that you want to address both. That's what I find mm-hmm. is the most effective.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there's ways that you can work with this estrogen level that starts to decline very slowly at first. It doesn't really pick up the pace until your 40s. And there's also ways that you can work on raising your serotonin.
Mm-hmm. So do you have an example right now for us of how we could do that?
Always have examples for you. I'm going to lift a couple of things from my book that's going to be published next year. So when it comes to your estrogen level, I'm a big fan of using what I call my three-step process for balancing your hormones, balancing your neurotransmitters. And we mm-hmm. call this whole thing the neuroendocrine system. It's a way of kind of grouping them together. So here's some practical tips. I'm a big one for practical tips. When it comes to estrogen, I'm a big fan of what can you do with your nutrition? What can you do with your exercise, the way that you move? That's step one. Step two is botanical therapies. Step three is bioidentical hormones. But not everybody needs them, and when you use them, I really recommend the lowest doses and for the shortest amount of time. So when it comes to estrogen, I would say when it comes to food, for instance, we know that flax seeds are effective at raising your estrogen levels. This has been documented quite well. And I prefer this to other phytoestrogens because flax seeds are a great way of dealing with some of the symptoms of low estrogen. An example here is hot flashes or night sweats. And flax seeds can be very effective. It's not the sort of thing where you want to make a big sugary muffin and stick some flax seeds in it. That's no. That's not so good for you. But flax seeds on their own, maybe in a smoothie or on your porridge in the morning, 2 tablespoons twice a day is what's been shown to raise your estradiol levels.
Interesting. I have a coffee grinder that I bought because I eat raw food, so I will chop up my chia seeds, I'll chop up my flax seeds is my point, just to give that an extra bit of thickness, and I find that my body digests it better. I only share that in case anyone listening has issues with flax seeds. And while we're on the topic of flax seed, is flax seed better than the flax oil?
Well, the oil, there's a time and a place for the oil as well. I think either are probably effective, and what you want to do is find what's going to really work for you. You know, this gets to another myth, which is one size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the data that I'm going to talk about today, I would say data is my middle name. I'm the queen of data. I
think
women especially have been experimented upon for far too long. We need to, like, completely stop that madness and use really good evidence with how we decide what to eat, how to move, if we decide to take hormones, how much, which types, what doses. So we really need to be evidence-based. But the problem is you also need to customize. You need to sort of figure out what's going to work for you. So this is the place where I would say try one morning having flax oil.
Mm-hmm.
See what your energy is like over the course of the day. See what your mood is like. Try on another morning flax seeds in their whole form. Try on a third day having them ground in a coffee grinder. You're absolutely right that when they're ground, often people find that they get the nutrients more easily
mm-hmm.
when they're ground. So we need to figure out what's true for you.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think as women, we can get frustrated by that, right? We want a one-size-fits-all, but then when we get it, we don't want it. We want to be treated as an individual.
It's true. We want.
What do
both.
You mean? I can't just have a formula and, you know, implement it.
Well, this is the both and answer again, I would say. We want to have a lot of safety, and we want proof behind the recommendations that we put into place, but we also want it to take into consideration who we are as individuals, you know, not just like another person in a study.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, absolutely. So the second myth then, what we're busting, is that there really isn't a one-size-fits-all. It's about taking in information and seeing how it fits for you.
It really is about contextualizing. It's about tailoring a process so that it fits into your life. I think it's very hard, especially for women, to hear, you know, here are 5 steps for you to raise your estrogen. Not all those 5 steps are necessarily going to fit for you. So I think this is where some trial and error is a very good thing, especially when you're working with something that's more proven. But I think it's also, you know, the problem in conventional medicine is that we really think in this one-size-fits-all place. And here I am using we again, even though I'm not really part of the paradigm. I'm both and. So, you know, there's this one-size-fits-all, okay, you know, Madam X, I have a woman in my practice who comes in with mood issues, and she had just seen her primary care doctor and got prescribed an antidepressant. You know, an example here would be something like Lexapro. And that's an example of one size fits all. And I would say the truth is that we really need to figure out, okay, what's your story? What's your narrative? What's really going to work for you? Rather than giving you 5 things that I think you should do, I would much rather that we partner together and discuss, here are 2 things that I can do. Here are 2 things that fit into my life that I have the energy for. So I would say the truth there is it needs to be customized. It needs to really make sense, especially for women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So we really do need to, and this, I guess, requires us to be in tune with ourselves, with our gut, with our intuition, whatever we want to call it, which I imagine has something to do with hormones as well.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes, totally. Absolutely. I mean, this is a big part of your work in the world, your greater purpose. I think this piece of attunement and intuition is so important for women. It's so important. So, yes, a very important part of that truth around the myth of one size fits all is that you have a high degree of attunement and self-knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely hormones play a role in that. They play a role in your confidence. They play a role in your ability to self-regulate and soothe. Progesterone really has that job. Testosterone tends to have more of a role with confidence. So there's all these hormones that I think will play a role in terms of your ability to attune. But I feel like attunement is one of those learned skills.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you, Jennifer? I mean, I just think it's such an important part of this process. It's kind of a parallel process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, from the work that I've done over the years, and you and I have spoken about this privately, I can see that energetically, when we look at the chakras and we look at what organs and what systems correlate with different chakras, for example, or different energetics, there's a huge tie-in with intuitive knowingness and speaking our truth and our hormones.
Yes.
And so what comes first, the chicken or the egg, right? Is it the energetics that create the imbalance, or is it the imbalance that creates the, you know, the judge or the feeling of not knowing and all those things, or again, is it both?
I think it's both. I think
yeah.
You know, maybe one predated another, but what I know with hormones is that they tend to reinforce the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And often what I find in situations like this is maybe we could give just a quick example of how this shows up, because we can otherwise get kind of theoretical. So let me give you an example of a woman who is 36 years old, and maybe she's an entrepreneur. I'm going to tune into one woman in particular so that I can be specific. 36-year-old entrepreneur, she's got two kids, she's burning the candle at both ends, she's pretty stressed, she's somewhat good at attuning. She's able to attune on Friday night especially.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much on Sunday night or Monday morning, but Friday, yes, she can attune on Friday, and she goes to yoga class a couple days a week. Because she's stressed, she's got a high level of cortisol. Cortisol is the main stress hormone that's made in your adrenal glands, those cute little tiny glands that sit on top of your kidneys, and they pump out a lot of different hormones. Cortisol is the main one. It's the main hormone of fight or flight. And what happens in her situation is that when she's making lots of cortisol, especially Sunday night preparing for her busy Monday morning, when she's making a ton of this cortisol, it puts her into a fear cycle. It puts her mm-hmm. into a place of the fear signal getting revved up in her body. Fight or flight, actually a lot of the early data on fight or flight was in men. Women, as a way of coping with stress, sometimes will tend and befriend. It's kind of a different way of thinking about fight or flight. But she will go to that fear place and then make more cortisol. The fear response is part of this vicious cycle of making more cortisol. And then what happens in the body, if we pull in the ovaries, one of the things I like to talk about is something called Charlie's Angels. And that is three different hormonal systems that really need to be working for you. The three different hormonal systems, we've mentioned some of them already. That includes your adrenal glands, your ovaries, and your thyroid. All three mm-hmm. of those really need to be in a happy place so that you feel like you've really got your mojo. Anyway, getting back to this entrepreneur. So she is making a lot of cortisol, and it blocks her progesterone receptor. So there's a receptor on cells for progesterone. It's another one of your sex hormones. It is the hormone that's in a dance with estrogen. We've talked about estrogen. And progesterone helps with soothing. It helps with calming you down. It helps you with self-regulation. You make a lot mm-hmm. of it, especially when you're pregnant. In the third trimester of pregnancy, it can have this kind of Valium-like effect. And in this particular entrepreneur, she's making so much cortisol that her little progesterone molecule can't get into the receptor. It's like a lock and key arrangement where the progesterone is a key in the lock of her cells. So she can't get that benefit of feeling soothed and regulated. And instead, she just feels more and more stressed. She can't get her to-do list done. She feels even worse by Monday night. She feels like she's chronically behind. She starts to feel overwhelmed. And that's an example of both and. It's not necessarily a chicken and an egg. It's the chicken and the egg are both causing problems.
mm-hmm.
So that was a bit rambling in terms of talking about all these different moving parts. But what I wanted to illustrate for you is just an example of how fear, and fear shows up in so many different ways, how fear can interfere, get in the way of being attuned, being really connected to intuition, and
mm-hmm.
change your energy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now I feel like I need to be grounded by you saying something about energy, because
we're going to namaste our way through the rest of this call.
Well, exactly. There's actually science to that, Jennifer. So we know that when you chant,
mm-hmm.
when you chant, even if it's even if it's the most simple chant in the world, that lowers your cortisol.
Mm.
It gets your cortisol to be right-sized again.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really beautiful intervention that you can make to get to that place of attunement that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think as women, we do disconnect from our knowingness, from the fear, absolutely, and then those fears are a multitude of things.
And a lot of us have been socialized to not know. We don't want to be know-it-alls, or we've been persecuted for knowing things that other people don't know. When we're in our power and our potency, we haven't necessarily, I'm not saying always, but we haven't necessarily had the best experiences, and so we're constantly throwing our knowingness out the window every time someone asks us, I don't know, but we actually do know, especially if we tune in. We might not always have words for it, but if someone says to us, well, would you like flax oil or would you like flax seed, we actually will have a response to that if we're willing to be tuned in.
Totally.
Especially because our body has consciousness and our body is always speaking to us and is going to say, I'll take the oil today, thanks.
That's such an important point, and I think that relates to some of the disempowerment that I sometimes see. I don't want to say this with blame or with judgment, but I sometimes see it in the conventional medical paradigm where people know, women know, they know what is the right next step. They know about the flax seeds, ground versus whole.
Mm-hmm.
And often we try to take that knowing away from women in conventional medicine. So that's one of the pieces that I think we really need to be honest about and truth tell about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love what you shared before too, because as women, I think we're really great typically at looking at what's wrong with us and then shaming and blaming and guilting ourselves for what's wrong with us. So if someone is having imbalances that are hormone related, then, you know, how much are we poo-pooing on ourselves and why can't I lose weight or why, you know, why don't I have more energy? What's wrong with me? Why am I not like everyone else? And then I can only imagine that that cycle continues to spin like a hamster on a wheel.
No question. I think you put your finger on such an important point. And the problem here, I think, is that there's a couple of I want to unpack this in a couple of ways. So one part, I think, is the self-recrimination. And the, you know, I would even say this is that dialogue that happens in the brain, kind of the constant self-talk about, okay, when am I going to exercise today? Why haven't I exercised yet? What is wrong with me that I don't exercise in the morning? You know, there's so many different ways that we feel like we fall short.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the settling for not having your energy be where you want it to be, you know, kind of that more glorious, magnificent hope that you have for who you want to be in the world and how you want your energy to be. I would even say this is another myth. I find in my integrative medicine practice that many women come to me saying, I feel okay, but I'm getting older. That's just how it is. That's just how it is. It's inevitable that my energy will be half what it used to be now that I'm fill in the blank, age 45 or age 55 or age 37. And that is just not true. It is a choice. It's a choice that you make every day with your food, with your skillful or less than skillful response to stress, with how you architect your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a great word. Architect, I mean.
Yeah, well, I think that's a really important piece related to, you know, we talked a little bit about the fear response, and I would even pull in stress a bit here, too.
Mm-hmm.
I have many myths that I would love to bust when it comes to stress. But often, you know, I find that many of my clients have this feeling that the reason why they're stressed is because of external situations. It's the economy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the wages that are not quite what I need as a single mom. It's the ex-husband who's difficult. It's the father-in-law who's dying. You know, so many of us have that feeling of external situations controlling our internal world.
Mm.
And I think that's another really important myth to bust, that you have a choice. You are empowered to manage this differently. And often it's our thoughts about the stress that get us into the vicious cycle, that get us into the stress response, rather than the stress itself. Would you agree with that, Jennifer?
Absolutely. It's our perception of what other people are saying or how we're showing up in the world or our perception of what's important and what's not important, what drives us, what doesn't drive us. Every time we're living in the non-reality rather than living in the reality, because reality isn't necessarily stressful. At least we can see what's coming and we can deal with it. When we keep trying to make non-realities reality and they just can't because it's apples and oranges, then we get stressed when we can't conform situations or conform beliefs or we can't conform to. And also our childhood stuff that we bring forward, our filters of how we perceive events and what people have said or what they haven't said, all of those things. You know, when we're dealing with those issues, then there's far less that gets us stressed. I mean, it takes a lot for me to get stressed out at this point. I don't know about you, but I would imagine that you're pretty diligent about managing, you know, energies that then contribute to your hormones. But so many of us, especially as women, well, I believe actually this happens for all of us. I don't know how you feel about this. We're conditioned at a very young age to believe that everyone outside of us knows what's best for us, the best path for us, the best food for us, the best activities for us. And we're so conditioned in school and through different institutions and our family and so on that everyone else knows what's best for us, that we really have to go through a process of unlearning that, in fact, we know what's best for us. And so when we're living someone else's dream for us or someone else's rules, that has to get stressful, I imagine, over time, because we're constantly fulfilling something that isn't fulfilling.
I think this is a really important point, and I often find that people don't recognize this until a little later on in their life. I don't know if you found that as well, but you know, there's another piece here that I think is really important with taking on someone else's ideas about the rules, about what it is you should study in school, about what kind of career you should have, the choices you make along the way. And I think for many women especially, they find in their late 30s or 40s or 50s that the piece of authenticity becomes so crucial. So crucial. And that's when we wake up to this idea that you're describing of really knowing that this is an inside job. This is a process of being in the world that requires that attunement that you were describing earlier. And here's the cost. Here's the cost. If you don't get to that place through, you know, there's a million paths for how to become self-aware in this way. But if you don't get to that place, the cost is that it does pull down your hormonal system. In a really significant way. And this is where I see women who, for instance, have been in a fear response or they've been fighting on some level other people's ideas about who they should be in the world, whether it's their husband or their parent. And they often come to me not with high cortisol because they've been in a stress response for so long, they now have burned out their adrenal glands and their cortisol is low. And maybe they have chronic fatigue syndrome, or they have candida, or they have Lyme disease, you know, one of these other conditions that is a result of this long-standing stress response. But I also want to be a little more practical. You know, I could talk about the theory. I would love to talk about the theory for hours, but I think often listeners want a little bit of theory and a lot of practical information. Like, make this simple for me, please. I don't have time to really hear all the science. And I one other piece that I think happens in parallel with this experience of waking up to your authenticity is that women especially have decades of fertility. We have, you know, I went through puberty, got my period when I was 10 years old. The average age is somewhere around 12. So whenever you got your period as a woman, that's the start of your fertile years, and most of us are fertile for 30, 35, 40 years. So that's a long time to be fertile. And what I've found in my practice is that it's often as your fertility starts to wane that there's a cloud, a hormonal veil of being fertile, accommodating, doing everyone's bidding, taking care of your family, caretaking both your own children if you have them, or maybe parents, caretaking your friends and other people in your life. And that veil starts to shift often in your 40s, where you start to get more clear about some of the bad behavior of other people around you, and you start to get more clear about what it is you really want and what is an authentic path for you. Has that been your experience? That's my experience in my practice, but I always love to check in and sort of see, Jennifer, is that what you have found?
Well, yes, Sarah, and my expertise now.
Well, I mean, both of us have seen thousands and thousands of people over the years, and although everyone's an individual, there are certain patterns and trends that emerge, and certainly our view of the world in our 20s is different than our 30s and our 40s, and I find that in women that are kind of in their late 30s, early 40s, tend to have this switch that goes on or off, depending on how you want to look at it, where all of a sudden, what other people think of you is none of your business, typically. You start to become very in tune with anything that's toxic around you. It's almost like you become very in tune with how much time you've been on the planet and how much real vitality, or like the vital years that you have left on the planet. And, of course, that, like you said, is in our control. But, you know, like I'm talking about traveling the world or running a marathon. I don't know that we're going to be running a marathon when we're 95. So our viewpoint of our mortality, or how we're using our most precious resource, which is our time, it's our only non-renewable resource, when we become in tune with that, then we start to just see the people around us differently. And all of a sudden we realize that the emails that are coming into our inbox, we don't have to respond to in a very frenetic way, that in fact we're responding to someone else's agenda. So we need to be clear on what's my agenda and when am I going to respond to emails, and, you know, that my friend's crisis isn't necessarily my crisis. And by the way, why am I friends with people that are in crisis every day? And why am I taking those phone calls when I know what's going to be on the other end? And we just start being maybe more discerning, feeling safer about setting boundaries, and all those kind of things that allow us to navigate what would have been very stressful times in a very different energy.
That was beautifully articulated. And I would say what you're doing is you're busting another myth. There's a myth.
Ooh, I like
Yay.
Being a myth buster.
Yeah, I would say there's this myth about aging in our culture that we need to look like teenagers, right? We need to have this plump skin. We need to use the latest injection to keep our skin looking a certain way, kind of like we're 18, I guess. There's this idea that aging sucks. And I totally want to bust that, because here is the truth. The truth is the people-pleasing, the difficulty with boundaries, that starts to shift. It is within your control, and I find that women, as their hormones start to change, especially their ovaries, their estrogen and progesterone levels, as that starts to change between about age 35 and 45, it's this amazing opportunity to do as you described, get more discerning, build better boundaries.
Yeah, and just get real. You know, we start to get real to the truth of what is and what isn't. I find that we tend to live less in illusion, and we're willing to take a stand for ourselves more, I feel like. And part of that involves our health, obviously.
It does involve our health. And I think this is how you really move forward in a conscious way, to have as much mojo as you possibly can. You know, reclaim your mojo. Have that energy that you want to support you going forward as you get older and wiser.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're aware that this is a three-dimensional experience. Although we will live on forever, if that's your belief system, we'll just be shifting form. But we're choosing to be on the human plane now, and there's something really magical about being human and the ways that it's helping us master our soul. And when we're not taking care of the temple that houses the soul to the degree that is in our control, then I feel like on some level, and I can speak for myself, when I've made decisions at times that aren't the most supportive to the temple, I kind of feel badly about that. I feel like I'm letting some aspect of me down, especially when it's a conscious choice to, you know, put something in my body or to participate in something that isn't, you know, as much of a contribution to me as it could be.
Mm-hmm. That's a super important point. And I think this relates to a more practical point as well of what the shift feels like. So as you start to maybe get more uncomfortable with the people-pleasing you have in your life or the ways in which you have internalized other people's ideas about how you should live your life, I think the way it shows up for many of us is with depression. It shows up with PMS, maybe rage or irritability.
Mm-hmm.
It shows up as excess weight. It shows up as addictions of all kinds and eating behaviors. It shows up with breathing shallowly. There's so many different ways that it shows up. But I think that point you just made is so important, of the idea of how am I taking care of my temple? How am I taking care of the temple of the soul? And I think in some ways maybe that should be the first question before the question that you often get asked when you have these problems in the medical realm, which is, how would you like to take this nice antidepressant? So I want you to ask first, how am I taking care of the temple? What can I do differently with that? And then maybe second, ask about, are there some hormonal reasons why I feel this way? Is it low estrogen? Is it high cortisol? Is it that my thyroid's low? We know that 20% of women have a low thyroid. And
mm-hmm.
I really want for people to be asking those questions first before they jump to taking something like a mental health drug, an antidepressant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can I perhaps bust another myth?
Please. This is like a rodeo. You bust
and
away.
I don't know if I feel like I've got one of those fancy guns at the circus thing that you use, right, or those stairs where you get to shoot the little things and you win a stuffed animal. I'm going to try and bust as many myths as I can today. And I don't know if I'm busting one, so that's why I'm asking. Well, you were talking about the thyroid and that we often, there's a percentage of us that have a low thyroid and we won't know it. And I have heard that a lot of times as women, we can have low thyroid, but some of the testing that is performed doesn't always pick that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a really crucial myth to bust. I'm so glad that you brought this up. And there are so many different symptoms that people can have related to low thyroid function. And I mentioned earlier that I really feel like the way I approach hormones at a first level is to look at Charlie's Angels. So how is your thyroid? How are your adrenals? How are your ovaries working to support you rather than to work against you? So when it comes mm-hmm. to the thyroid, the three most common symptoms that people have when their thyroid is not working are, number one, mood changes, mood swings, mm. depression. Number two, weight gain. Especially if you're doing all the same stuff you usually do in terms of eating and exercise, and yet you're putting pounds on. And then The third most common is fatigue, that loss of mojo. Now, there's a long list of other things, hair loss, loss of sex drive. There's many other things that I could describe, but I think that top three is really important. And I even call it thyropause because there are so many women who go through this similar to menopause. And I really believe that anyone who has mood problems or anyone who has fatigue must have their thyroid checked. It's really crucial. Now, for the important point that you made, you are absolutely right. There are many different tests out there for how to look at thyroid function, and the problem is...
You've been listening to Soul Purpose Central with internationally acclaimed radio host Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose Expert, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For your connection to the wisdom of the collective Akasha and selected experts who can align you to all things soul purpose, prepare to be activated, aligned, and accelerated on your ascension path. To find out more about Jennifer Longmore, visit her on her site at souljourneys.ca. Isn't it time that you powerfully aligned with your soul's purpose and activated your divine gifts and talents so that you can thrive in the new paradigm? Tune into Soul Purpose Central with internationally acclaimed radio host Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose Expert. You've been divinely guided here because something deep within your diamond light longs to be activated so that you can joyously evolve through your ascension journey. After 20,000 soul purpose and healing sessions, Jennifer now joyfully shares with you her profound wisdom and experience in the Akashic Records, multidimensional healing, and all that is relevant to your creation story as a unique spark of divine light love. Join us for Soul Purpose Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com for your connection to the wisdom of the collective Akasha and selected experts who can align you to all things soul purpose. Prepare to be activated, aligned, and accelerated on your ascension path.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.
Transformationtalkradio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
Do you feel energetically bankrupt? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know CRA anticipates a problem and solves it before it occurs and often prevents a disaster waiting to happen? With CRA, we have predictable results before the onset of illness. CRA is an energy assessment of the body's electrical circuits, evaluating the emotional, structural, and nutritional needs of the body. by reinforcing the body with specific nutrition to promote peak performance. CRA detects the results of what the body has been taking in, causing ill health, and gives insight into removing the obstacle to healing and nourishes the body back to health. CRA balances you emotionally, nutritionally, and structurally for you to be the best you can be and gives you a glimpse of a world where aging appears to be slowed indefinitely. With CRA, I will design a program for your specific needs. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Reservage Organics offers you the most advanced anti-aging product available. Our organic-based resveratrol formula, brought to you from the heart of our exclusive vineyards in southern France, has been clinically proven to reactivate your longevity gene and help preserve your youth. By including Reservage resveratrol in your daily regimen, you can enhance cardiovascular function, metabolism, mental acuity, and collagen production. If you want to regain your youthful radiance and enhance your longevity, do so with the world's finest resveratrol from Reservage Organics. Why wait? Visit your local retailer and start the anti-aging process today. Reservage Organics, committed to the extension of youth naturally. Available online at Reservage.com and at the Vitamin Shop, Vitamin World, and Whole Foods Market. Visit Reservage.com and feel vitality today.
Transformation Talk Radio is designed to attract people like you and like me. Millions of people across the globe are looking to uplevel their lives. If you have a message and want to take it out on Transformation Talk Radio, make sure you give us a call, 1-800-930-2819, or send an email to host@transformationtalkradio.com and get ready to host your own show on one of the fastest growing transformative networks in the world. Transformation Talk Radio.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great! We should spread the word!
Absolutely. Spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation.